more than I did the Bible? Me. I guess I must be on your mind a lot. Because I think the most thing I heard you say was me, me, me. I mean, Mr. Hep, Mr. Hep, Mr. Hep, and he said, Mr. Hep, Mr. Hep, Mr. Hep, and Ray Pro, Mr. Hep, Mr. Hep, Mr. Hep, not the Scriptures. Seemed like the Scriptures were the most least important thing. I'm not here to attack you. I'm not here to attack you. I'm here to defend the gospel. The Lord woke me up one morning, and that's what he showed me. He said not to defeat Don McLean, but to defend the gospel. Made all kinds of things. False teachers. False teachers are inconsistent. But last night he said, one thing I'll say about Mr. Hep is he's consistent in what he says. You know, I mean, it's about the Scriptures, Mr. McLean. It's about the Scriptures. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about us. It's about, what does the Word of God say? It's about digging into the Word of God and seeing what the Word of God says. That's what it's about. Not about you're a false teacher, you're this, or Mr. This, or Mr. McLean, or Mr. whatever. It's about Jesus Christ. And about digging into the Scripture and seeing, is Spirit baptism for us today? Is it for us today? Is Spirit baptism for us today? Because if it is, do you want it? Do you want it? Okay, yeah, he talked about a check. I can take a check down to the bank and find out that it... Well, guess what? I got cash for my check. I got cash for my check. And when I received the gift of the Holy Ghost, I spoke with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave me the utterance. Nobody told me what to say. Nobody was over me saying, all right, now, repeat after me now. Blah, 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 blah. No. No. I don't play that foolishness. I went down and God filled me with the Holy Ghost just like He did in the Bible. Just like it in the Bible. Now, is this a feeling or an emotion or something like that that I can't attribute to the Word of God? Or is it in the Word of God? And is it promised to me in the Word of God when I repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins that I shall receive what? The same thing that they received in the 10th chapter of Acts, the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues. That's Acts 10 chapter. Same thing. Acts chapter 10, they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost. And that's what was promised to us. Just to give you an example here. I had wrote down a few scriptures. And this wasn't all of them. I just wrote down, I have about 11 scriptures here about the promise of the Spirit. I'm just going to read them to you real quick. I'm not going to go through every scripture because I've already done that. And I'm just going to go over. So if you have a pen and paper, maybe you can write these scriptures down and go back to them later. Mark chapter 1, I'll go over it and talk a little bit about it, though. I'm just not going to the scripture, though, but you can write it down and go search behind me. Mark chapter 1, verse 8, John the Baptist promised for ones that he was baptizing that they would receive the promise of the Holy Spirit baptism. Holy Spirit baptism. Mark chapter 1 and 8, and he was talking to the ones that he baptized. He said, I have baptized you, past tense, I have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. That's Mark chapter 1 and 8. So it wasn't just the disciples, it was whoever he baptized who that promise was to. Matthew 3 and 11, same promise. Luke 3 and 16, same promise. John 1 and 33, same promise. Luke chapter 24, verse 49, he promised his disciples that they would get it. Now, does that mean it was only to his disciples? Well, it's the same promise as John the Baptist. If I came to you and told you something that I told somebody yesterday, if I said, hey man, if you come to the Bible discussion tomorrow, you'll get to hear some scriptures in the Word of God, and I'll give you some passages pertaining to the Spirit baptism. And if I told somebody else the same thing, does that mean that it's not for anybody else, it's only for these? No, I told these folks too, and it's also for them. Just like John the Baptist told the ones that he was baptizing, it was for them. Even likewise did Jesus tell his disciples that they were to wait for the promise of the Father. Acts 1 and 4, he said the same thing about the promise of the Father. John 7 and 37, the promise of the Holy Spirit baptism was not just to the disciples, but it was whosoever. Jesus said, whosoever believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And he said, this thank you of the Spirit, which was not yet given, because Christ was not yet glorified. Luke chapter 11, verse 13, he said that the Holy... I never did read this one, but I'm going to read this one. Luke chapter 11... all promises of the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 13. He said, if you then being evil know how to give good things unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? That's a promise. Who is that to? It's the ones that ask Him. All right, we go to Acts chapter 2 and 38. The same promise of what the household of Cornelius received, the gift of the Holy Ghost for the heard to speak with tongues, was offered to us. It was offered to the ones that obeyed the truth. Now, he said, repent and be baptized, everyone in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. All right, Acts 5 and 32, it was promised to them that obey. Them that obey was promised. We'll just go there, Acts 5 and 32, and read that. It was promised to the ones that obeyed. Acts 5 and 32 says, And we are witnesses of these things, and so also the Holy Ghost whom God hath given to them that obey Him. All right, Acts 2 and 17, it was promised that God would pour out His Spirit by Joel, and Peter was rehearsing what Joel said, and he said, "It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and on my headmans will I pour out of my Spirit in those days." That's Spirit baptism. That's the Spirit baptism right there. And who did He say? He said, "It shall come to pass in the last days." These are the last days. Not in the last day, but in the last days. And He said, "I will pour my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." That's the same promise as Acts 2 and 38. Repent and be baptized, everyone in the name of Jesus Christ. He said you would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and it is a promise, not to just you, but to you, your children, and as many that are far off as the Lord our God shall call. That's what the Scripture says. I asked a question, one of my questions earlier was, when were the disciples converted? He took us over and showed us where Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." That wasn't conversion. When did anyone ever get converted because they saw the Lord and said, "My Lord and my God"? And I'm not downing him. I'm just showing the Scripture that he brought forth. Maybe that's the way he sees it. But we're not here. We're here to rightly divide it and see if these things are so in the Scripture. I'm not going to down him for seeing it that way. If God doesn't open his understanding to something, then all I can do is wait till he does, and maybe this will do it. Maybe this will help. Maybe this will help. Because I'm not here to attack you, like your little statements that you made. You know, maybe we've taught him something. I said Christ and him crucified, and you said you taught me something. We've taught him something here. I believe I learned Christ and him crucified years ago. And that's just building up and tearing down. That's not what I'm here for. I'm not here to tear you down, Mr. McLean. And to say that I hope we're teaching you something. I'm not here for that today. I'm not here for that today. Maybe in times past I've made mistakes. Maybe in times past I've made mistakes and have tore people down. But I'm going to tell you what God dealt with my heart the other day. And I'll tell you what came on my heart was, he that is wise winneth souls. I'm here to win souls. I'm not here to boast big and just cut you all up to put you on the defensive. I can't win your soul if I got you on the defensive. If I got your dukes up, you're not going to receive nothing I say. I got to be wise. I got to be harmless as a dove and wise as a serpent. That's what my Lord taught me. I'm here to win souls. I'm not here to puff myself up and put you below me as though you don't have nothing. I'm here to, maybe I might have something that you don't have, and I'm going to put the Word of God out here and exalt God's Word, and if you find something in it, pray about it, because I'm here, I'm a seed sower, I'm sowing seeds. And I guarantee you this one thing, I know this of the truth, that somebody here tonight, somebody without a shadow of a doubt, I hope more, is going to get something out of this toward the will of God. And the reason I know this is because God said His Word will not go out void. I don't believe this Bible discussion was for just to prove a point on someone or nothing like that. I believe it was ordained by God. I believe it was ordained by God. For whatever reason, we'll know. I might not ever know. I'll be like Philip. I just plant my little seed and go my little way. And maybe John and Peter will come down and pray for someone that they'll receive the Holy Ghost one day. But I do believe it's going to have fruit. One day this will have fruit. I hope to God I get to see it. All right, now, he said, let's go to Luke chapter 22. When were the disciples converted? He said when they saw Jesus and said, "My Lord and my God." We'll examine it. If he's right, the Scriptures will output it. We'll examine it. But let's see, I'll prove to you when I believe he was converted. This is what Jesus said to Peter in Luke chapter 22, verse 21. Luke 22 and 21 says, that might not be the right one. 22 and 31. Luke 22 and 31. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Jesus said, he wasn't converted at this point in time. But you want to know something? He was baptized. I 100% believe he was baptized. 100%. But he wasn't converted. Now, can you say, how do you know he was baptized? Well, when I go to John, let me ask you this. Does any of you guys that are ministers baptize anyone if you've not been baptized yourself? Would you, in the church or in the assemblies, do we allow people that have not been baptized to baptize people? Or people that have been baptized already to baptize people? Well, let's go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Says, "When therefore the Lord knew the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. They were baptizing. Do you think they were baptized and it hadn't been baptized? Jesus said, thus it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. They were baptizing, folks. Why were they baptizing? They were making disciples and baptizing them. And yet, do you think they weren't baptized? But yet, Jesus came along after this point. This was at the beginning of his ministry. Then toward the end, where we find in Luke, Luke says, Peter, I pray for you. He said, but after you're converted, strengthen your brethren. So when was Peter converted? Let's see. When did the true conversion come? Let's go to Acts. Acts chapter 2. Let's find the conversion of Peter. Remember what he said now. He said, Peter, after you're converted, do what? Strengthen your brethren. Strengthen your brethren. Look at this. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. I don't know, but like he said about this Mormon stuff and all that stuff, but I can tell you one thing. The Church of Jesus Christ today and the Church of Jesus Christ back then spoke in tongues when the Holy Ghost came on them. And that's the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and they were filled, and they were dwelling in Jerusalem. I'm going to skip on down here. I'm going to skip on down here to verse 14. Now we see something took place. I say that was conversion, and I'm going to prove it. Watch. Look at verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come. And he goes on, and he preaches the gospel. You know what he did? He strengthened his brethren. Jesus said, after you're converted, strengthen your brethren. Peter stood up with the keys to the kingdom of God and preached the gospel after he was converted. Jesus gave him the keys and said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Peter was converted in Acts chapter 2. He was baptized in the beginning of his ministry, and after he was baptized, it was told him to after he's converted. So his baptism wasn't conversion. Alright, as far as the Spirit command thing that he was saying, the command of the Spirit. Our commandment, what we obey is to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. But we do know that he said that we have to be born of water and Spirit. Now, we can't just go be born of the Spirit, but we know that when we do what we're supposed to do as far as repenting and being baptized in his name, then we have obeyed. We have obeyed, and the Spirit will come, because it's a promise unto you and to your children and all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. So, we can take it as a commandment, but the way we obey the commandment of receiving the Spirit, how do we obey the commandment to receive the Spirit? Well, we do what he said. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And he said, you shall. You shall. If I told you to pay your rent, how do you obey the commandment to pay your rent? Well, you go get a job, and then you'll have money, and then you can pay your rent. All right. Thank you, Jesus. He said something about the paraphrasing thing. The question that he asked me was something about some fancy way of saying, was the words of God right or something like that? I forgot how he said it, expired or whatever. And I said, yes. But what I mean by paraphrasing, when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll read the same instances, and they're not the exact wording. But it's the same instance. To give you an example, one time, Jesus told him, he says, when they deliver you up to the councils, same story. When they deliver you up to the councils, think not what you to say, because the Spirit of my Father will give you the words to say. Another place he said, when they deliver you up to the councils, think not what to say, because the Holy Ghost will give you words to say. Another place he said, when they deliver you up, think not what to say, because I will give you words to say. So is that saying, it's the same thing, and you all here tonight, if you were to go and say exactly what you saw and told the truth, and you all went down and wrote down exactly what I'm saying right now, you can say it a couple different ways, but it'd be saying the same thing. You can say, I heard him say this, and word it one way and another, but it's all the same thing. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John told the same stories. Some of them said things that the others didn't. Some said, so you'll get different stuff out of Matthew that maybe Mark didn't tell you about, or John told you something Matthew didn't tell you about. But a lot of the stories all said the same thing. A lot of them had the same stories, but yet they might be worded just a little bit different. But it was the same story. There's truth in all of it. It's just if I witnessed the car accident, you witnessed the car accident, and we both told the car accident, I might say something you didn't say, you might say something I didn't say, and we might both say the same thing, but it might not be worded in exact order. It might be paraphrased out a little bit different, but it's the same story, and it's all the truth. If I say the car ran across the street and hit that car, and you said that car got hit by the car that came across the street, it's the same story. And that's what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is. It's the same story. You can go through and find. You'll find many different of the same instances that are different. Anyway, I just had to defend that because I was attacked on that. He said they... Alright. I want to deal with a little bit more on the baptism of the Spirit. I want to go to 1 Corinthians. We talked about it a little yesterday, but I'm going to bring it into Romans 6 and 4. We're going to start up at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm doing this in an honest, sincere heart. I'm not doing this in attack modes or anything like that. I'm just doing this so you guys can analyze the Scripture and read it for yourself. That's all I'm asking. Write down these Scriptures. Write them down. Go home. Read them. Study them diligently. Pray about it. Study about it. I'm not going to tell you that God's not going to give you something in prayer that's not going to be in the Word, but maybe He can help you to understand what's in the Word a little bit better. But take these Scriptures home and study them. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." Now, remember again. I was talking the first go around that there's two things that took place in being born again. Now, also let me say this: he was saying that I contradicted myself because I said that the Spirit draws you and then you get baptized. See, there's water and Spirit, and I contradicted myself. No, I didn't contradict myself. The Spirit drawing you is not being born of the Spirit. Because the Spirit draws you, when you get baptized in water, you're born of water. When you're baptized in water, you're born of it. There's a baptism that's born, and then now, remember what John said? He said two things. John says, "I indeed baptize you with what? Water, unto repentance. But he that cometh after me shall do what? Baptize you with the Holy Ghost." He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. So if being born of water is being baptized in water, then what is being born of Spirit? Not being drawn by the Spirit. You're not born of the water by being sprinkled on water. You've got to be baptized in it, submersed, immersed in it. The immersion of it. And so if being born of water is being baptized in water, which I think we all do agree, then so is being born of the Spirit. He said, born of water and the Spirit. He says, "I baptize you with water, but He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." And what took place? We went over it, Acts 19. You see, they were born of water, and then they were born of the Spirit. They were born of the water and the Spirit. Acts the 10th chapter, they were born of the Spirit, then they were born of the water. Acts chapter 8, they were born of the water, then they were born of the Spirit. And what was promised to us in Acts 2 and 38? If you'll repent and be baptized, or if you'll repent and be born of the water, Then the being born of the Spirit will come because it's a promise unto you and your children as many as that are far off. Why? Because the man, John, said, "I baptize with water, but the one that's going to baptize you with the Spirit is Jesus Christ." All right, Acts 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says, "So for by one Spirit are we all baptized." That's baptism of the Spirit. For by one, we're baptized by the Spirit. That's the Spirit baptism right there. It says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized." It is the Spirit baptism. By one Spirit are we all baptized. The Spirit is baptizing us. If the Spirit is baptized, if Jesus Christ is baptizing us by the Spirit, Jesus Christ is baptizing us by the Spirit into one body, whether we be Jews or Greeks or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, whether we have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So He says we are baptized by one Spirit. So when we think, okay, all right, there's two emphases made. John made the emphasis. John didn't say, "I baptize you with water and you're going to be baptized by the..." He said, you will, it's another time, future tense, not many days hence. There would be a time that you would be baptized with the Spirit. So John baptized them in water and so forth, and there was going to, and that was the man doing the water baptism, which is our obedience to the gospel. But then the promises come. See what John even said? He says, "But He shall baptize you." All right? Two emphases, water and the Spirit. Now we see here that the Spirit baptism is what puts you into the body. Now we go to Galatians chapter 3. "Knowing now that it's not water baptism that baptizes us into Christ. It was by the Spirit." The Spirit baptism, because it was two parts. John did the water baptism, but he said Jesus is going to do the Spirit baptism. Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 27. He said, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Now that's clearly the Spirit baptism. How can I prove it? When the Spirit baptism takes place, two things happen. One, Christ comes inside of you. When you receive the Holy Ghost, when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, Christ is coming. Jesus said He was the Holy Ghost. Let me just prove that real quick in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 26. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 26. He says, "But the Comforter," which is what? Which is the Holy Ghost. The Comforter is the Holy Ghost. Now we know what the Comforter is. Now let's back up to verse 16. He said, "Now I will pray the Father." This is John chapter 14, verse 16. If you have pencils and papers, please write these down. It would be good to study this. And he says, "I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter." We know that the Comforter is the Holy Ghost. He said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, that He may abide with you forever." This other Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, will abide with you forever. Verse 17, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." Why? "Because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him." He says, you know this other Comforter. Look here. All right, "because you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Who is dwelling with them? Jesus Christ. Look what He says, verse 18. "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." He's saying the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, He said, "I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you." I. Jesus Christ is the Comforter. He says, "He dwelleth with you, but shall be in you." It's going to be another Comforter because you got me with you in the flesh, but I'm going to come and I'm going to be inside you. I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. So we understand that when Christ comes into a person, that is the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Alright, verse 27, Galatians chapter 3 again. "For as many of you have been baptized into Christ," how were we baptized into Christ? "By one Spirit into one body. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." When you were baptized with the Holy Ghost, and you were baptized into one body by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you put Him on. You received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Alright? After we've said that, we can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is a tough one to digest because we think, oh, we're buried with Him with baptism, so I'm burying you in water, so you're buried in baptism. I used to believe that. I used to believe that at one time. But the Bible says, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." I hope you don't believe the same thing that you believed the first day you came to God. I hope you were able to grow and see some things you were wrong, some things you were right, but we can grow together in the Lord. Actually, it's Romans chapter 6. I was in 1 Corinthians. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse... Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 4. Right, let's back up to verse 3. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. It says, "Know ye not as many as us as were... as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ." Now, we've already seen that we're baptized into the body by the Spirit. We've already seen that that when we were baptized into Him, we received the Spirit. Christ came in, which was the Holy Ghost, inside of us. As many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. He says, "Know you not as many of us as been baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death." When we were baptized into the body, we were baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him. Not water. That's not water baptism. We're buried with Him, and we're buried with Him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so should we walk in the newness of life. That's not water baptism. That is the Spirit baptism. And you have to rightly divide God's word. We have to rightly divide God's word. We know that the Spirit baptism has put you into the one body. We know that when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, the Spirit of God gave us. That was when Christ coming inside of them. He says, "I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come unto you." He was promised them the Comforter, which was the Holy Ghost, which they received on the day of Pentecost, which they received in the 10th chapter of Acts, which they received in the 8th chapter of Acts, which they received in the 19th chapter of Acts, which we receive today. Because the promise is not just to us, but the gift of the Holy Ghost is to you, your children, and as many as there are far off, as the Lord our God shall call. Can I get a time just so I can kind of know where to take?
6.5 minutes.
All right. So that deals with that. Now you said something about they were saved and they were not saved at the same time. I said they were in a saved condition. I don't believe in once saved, always saved. I believe they're in a saved condition. How do I believe they're in a saved condition? Because they've already done all they can do is they obeyed God. The Bible says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." That's on God. See, if I do what John did, if I go to John and say, "John baptized," John says, I've baptized you with water, but He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. I've done my part. I've brought my fruit to meet for repentance and was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That's all John can do, is baptize you with water. But John said he would baptize me with the Holy Ghost. I done my part. Now I'm waiting on him. He said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So I'm in a saved condition because I've obeyed God, and God's word is true. And if he promised something, I'm going to believe it. And so I'm in a saved condition, but I'm not saved. Even when I get the Holy Ghost, can I say that I'm not going to hell? I'm already saved. It's over with. It's finished. It's finalized. No. I don't believe in once saved, always saved. I believe that you can be spewed out of his mouth. He would that you were hot or cold, but because thou art lukewarm, I'll speed thee out. I believe if we abide in him, what did he say? If you keep in remembrance what we have taught, we would be saved. If we keep these things. So I say that we'll be saved when this thing's over with. We'll be saved when it's over with. But the 10 virgins, only 5 was wise, and the foolish didn't enter in. So we can be in a saved condition. When you obey God and done all you can do, I mean, that's all you can do, and you wait on God. But God will fill with the Holy Spirit as he promised. That's his part. He will fulfill his promises. All right? Then again, what he was talking about in the 10th chapter of Acts, he was trying to say that goes back to what happened in the Acts chapter 1 and 4. That was fulfilling all that stuff, or he was trying to compare it to that. Well, it was. It was. Why was he astonished that because the Gentiles got the Holy Ghost? That was the big deal. It wasn't that they were making a big deal because someone got baptized. The scripture doesn't say, well, let's just go look at it. What was the big deal made out? Why was it such a big deal? Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 44. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came. Look at why they were astonished. Let's dissect the scripture. He says, they were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because, he explains why they were astonished, because that on the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Gentiles got the Holy Spirit. That was awesome. Like, you know, I mean, this doesn't happen. The Holy Ghost, they got the Holy Ghost just like we did. There's no difference between us. We're Jews, they're Gentiles. And there's no difference. Hallelujah. There, I'm astonished. God has granted repentance unto life unto the Gentiles. For they heard them speak with tongues. They received the gift of the Holy Spirit, for they heard them speak with tongues. The gift of the Holy Ghost. That same gift of the Holy Ghost is promised to you in Acts 2:38. I believed, and it took place in my life. Everything I have brought to you today, if you've listened to me, if you haven't, you can get the tapes. All 4 of my, all 8, I guess. I think it's 8. All 8 messages that you'll hear from me. All I'm doing is constantly quoting scripture, 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 scripture. Get the tapes, listen to them, write them down. Write down all the scriptures. And rightly divide God's word. Take the tapes and take Don McLean's message. Write down, I'll tell you what you do. Take the tapes from me and take the tapes from the recordings of Don McLean and listen to each and every one. And every time Don McLean says a scripture, write it down. Every time he said Romans 6:4, one minute, just write it down. And write down a little note next to it of what he says it means. And then take you one page here, all for Don McLean. And take you another page, all for David Hepp. And then take the scriptures and what he says they mean and what I say they mean. And you just rightly divide it. Don't, if you're a Church of Christ or if you're whatever you are, Baptist or whatever you might, I don't know what you are, but whatever you are, don't come with your preconceived notion. Come, I'm going to look at this scripture. I'm going to step aside from my religion. I'm going to step aside from my religious group association for just a little bit, me and God. And I'm going to read these scriptures through much prayer. Pray before you read it. Not that God's going to come down and say, son, this is what it means. But maybe he can let a light bulb come on when you see something and say, well, I never saw it like that. Take the scriptures and write them down and look at it and rightly divide and seek out, you know, search the scriptures diligently and see these things so. Don't fall back because you've been raised this way. Don't fall back because you've been raised. And in the back of your mind, you've built walls. But for just a little while, step aside from the walls and take the scriptures and analyze them. Take the scriptures and analyze them. That's why I don't want to come too strong against Don McLean. One reason is I already lost y'all. When I attack your leader, I mean, first thing you're going to do, I ain't going to hear nothing he has to say. But that's not my objective. My objective is to give you something. And I want you to receive it. And the only way I'm going to do that is by being wise to you and giving you scripture. So please take these scriptures and study them out and search them out. And I'm going to end with this one last thing. And this is the thing I want to end because this is the final night. I probably only got, how many minutes? 3 minutes left? 1 minute left. I'm going to say this real quick. I was a heathen. I was nothing. I was nobody. I wasn't raised in much of a church of nothing. I really didn't go to church most of my life. I was told that I was saved. I moved to Hawaii, lived a riotous life. I was hit over the head with a beer bottle, got bleeding in my brain. I came to Arkansas, started seeking the Lord. My grandfather was a missionary Baptist preacher. If I was deceived, it wasn't by man because man didn't teach me this. So anyway, I began to seek the Lord, and I started to get hungry for God. God called me to preach. Yes, He did call me to preach, and He called me to preach. It wasn't just a feeling I had in my heart. I can explain it to you one time if you ever ask. And I began to seek the Lord, and I wanted truth. So I went to different churches searching for the truth. And I prayed about something that I heard in the church one night. I prayed about it a second night. Third night, went to a church. A man came up to me, opened up the Bible, and answered the questions that I prayed to God the two nights before. That night, I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, September of 1999. January 16th, year 2000, I went to an altar. Not because no one pushed me, talked to me about it, but I was seeking God with all my heart. I went down to the altar. I felt something come from the left, right side, sat upon me. When it did, I knew something was different. Next thing you know, I began to speak in cloven tongues, like as a fire, as it did in the Bible. The promise is unto you and your children, and as many as are far shall come. Don't let nobody take this word from you. God bless you.